Hey, welcome back. This is Val. Thank you for joining me again. Good things are coming. Episode 3. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Okay, first of all, I guess this episode is on tarot, if you didn't know. I really like tarot. It's one of the first things that after I got into it, I was like, yeah, this is for me. Like, if it wasn't, there's a few things that, like, inspired me to be into spirituality, but actually getting into tarot and getting it was what really solidified it for me. Let me do a little update on what has happened ever since I recorded last time. Okay, so first and second episode, I recorded, edited, and uploaded and made the whole podcast thing and distributed it all in one day. It was all very impulsive. And that was Sunday, and today is Tuesday. So it's been a couple of days, everything, reality has set in, and now, I mean, we're still here, so it wasn't a manic episode, let's say that. I did a little bit of research, because I wanted to add a little bit more of the history behind tarot, but I also wanted to talk about my experience with tarot. And actually, this is my second time recording the podcast, this episode. The first time I had recorded the explanation and like the history first, I did not get, because I was getting bored myself. I was getting bored of talking. I was bored. I was boring myself. Is that a word? Anyway, so I'm going to talk mainly from my perspective and from my experience, and then I'll go adding in the little facts and stuff that I researched on. Okay. So, to start, when did I get into tarot? I got into tarot during the first lockdown, and I think that's a very common thing. I think a lot of people had gone into stuff like this and spirituality, and I think although the first lockdown and just quarantine and COVID in general has sucked, I do think there's some positive impacts that have come. Of course, I know there's been so many hardships, but let's just look at the light at the end of the tunnel, all right? So I started going into tarot, and I started kind of researching it, seeing what it was about, blah, blah, blah. And actually, I debated, there was a full month where I was like, should I get it? Should I not get it? Should I get it? Should I not get it? Because a friend of mine, hey, Vicky, a friend of mine got her tarot deck for her birthday. This was June, and she got it as a gift. And there's this superstition that you shouldn't, that a tarot deck, your first, or at least your first tarot deck, has to be a gift. You can't buy it for yourself. I don't really know why exactly, but it's like that superstition. So I spent like a whole month debating, should I get it, should I not get it, should I get it? Because I was like, I tried researching on that, and there was no reason. And the people that I saw, especially on TikTok, were like, oh, don't worry, just get it. Like, if you want it, just get it. It's just conspiracy. Like, I don't know. But I don't know. I was a little bit nervous about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because if I don't buy it for myself, then who's going to buy a tarot deck for me? No one. But at the end of the day, I guess I kind of cheated the system, because I talked to my mom about it, and my mom has always been kind of like into this stuff. Like, ever since I was young, she has gotten like tarot readings done. She's into this stuff, so she was interested by me wanting to learn about it, and she paid for it. So, but I did pick it out, but she paid for it. So I guess it was, but it wasn't a gift. So I guess I kind of finessed the superstition. I don't know. Personally, and to this day, I'm so ashamed of this. My first tarot, I got from Amazon. I'm sorry, okay? I went on Amazon, got the one I liked, and my mom paid for it. So it was a gift, but also, imagine getting your first tarot and giving the money to Jeff Bezos. What the hell? What is wrong with you, sweetie? But honestly, we were in quarantine, okay? Desperate measures. And now, looking back on it, my advice would be, don't pay attention to the superstition. If you want to get a tarot deck and you want to get into it, just get into it. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you have good intentions and as long as you know this is like good for you, then go ahead and do it. 'Cause some people, like you may be lucky that you have people around you that are into spirituality and that are into this kind of stuff, and they'll get you a tarot deck because they know you're interested. But you also may not know anyone, and that's okay. You also may be the only one in your family who's into this stuff, or the only one in your friend group who's into this stuff, and that's also okay. Personally, I would say though, don't get it from Amazon. Get it from, there's probably like a small spirituality shop around you. Look it up on the internet, go there, buy locally. Just don't give your money that you're spending on your spirituality to Amazon. Just don't. Not that I'm saying that my deck wasn't legit because it was from Amazon. It was. I've seen that deck everywhere, like in shops, like local shops. Like I've seen that deck everywhere. I got like the very traditional one. Why don't I have it with me right now? Like I'm filming an episode and I don't have it with me. Okay. I would say, yeah, definitely get it from a small shop. And one thing I will say about having your tarot, like getting your tarot deck, I know nowadays there's so many like aesthetic decks and they're like minimalist and they're just, those are hard to read. If you're a beginner, those are hard to read. Because the thing with tarot is it has to be based on your intuition. And although technically anyone can read tarot, if you're not balanced, if you're not an intuitive person, it's gonna be a lot harder for you. And it's gonna be a lot harder for you to get a hang of it and to be accurate with it. So really anyone can do it, but if you had bad vibes, then it's just not gonna work for you. Just have good vibes, work on yourself, work on being positive, and then probably you'll be fine. So I will say that. Although I think tarot's not for everyone. I mean, I don't want to gatekeep tarot, but I'm saying, although it is, like, by definition, anyone can read it, but I just don't think it's for everyone. I just don't think everyone has the gift. Now, I'm not saying I have the gift, I have the talent, and I'm like one in a million. No. I think it's a good 5 of 10 people who can do it. But I just think it's just not for everyone. And if you have bad intentions, get out of here. Stop listening to this. If you want to read tarot to know about to sabotage someone, no. No. Immediately no. So I would say definitely get a tarot you can read. Get a tarot deck you can read. Because although the minimalist, the aesthetic ones, they are pretty. They are really hard to read and they're not practical. At the end of the day, those decks are for more advanced people that once they pull out a card, they right away know what they're thinking, and they read the intuit their intuition right away tells them. They don't need to be reflected in the card. Whereas when you're a beginner, you want to start with a beginner deck that's very colorful, that has a lot going on. Because at the end of the day, once you pull out a card, you look at it and you focus on the things that sprang out to you. Maybe you look at a card and it has a tree, so then your intuition starts thinking about trees and nature and that it has to do something with nature. That's how it works most of the time until you get the hang of it and until you become more advanced. So definitely don't get an advanced deck. Although, all decks do come with little books, and those little books tell you the definitions or what they stand for, so you know, because it's hard to memorize at first. There's a lot of cards, but be aware some decks have really, really bad little books. My tarot deck, I never use the book because it's so bad. There's other decks I have seen, because mine is kind of like more like an old edition, it's more traditional. Other decks I've seen, newer ones, like the aesthetic ones, they do come with like a thick book. and like they have good definitions in them and all that. So that's kind of what you have to do first to pick out your deck, to know kind of the basis of what you're doing. So now, okay, your deck came in the mail, or you just got home from whatever little crystal shop you went to. Now you're home. How do I do this? So basically, to give you a little rundown of how tarot works, there's minor arcana and there's major arcana. Minor arcana are the ones you see, for example, mainly if you're into like TikTok tarot readings, or you've probably heard of the terms of Ace of Wands, Two of Wands, Three of Wands, Five of Cups, Six of Pentacles. All of those, that could be, those are called the suit. So it would be the Suit of Wands is any card that has to do with wands from, I think it goes from 2 to 10 or 2 to 12 or something. Then we have the Suit of Cups, the same thing but with cups, the Suit of Swords, and then the Suit of Pentacles. Those are minor arcana. And then all the rest are major arcana. The easiest way, I think, to identify which are which is the suits ones, so the minor arcanas, they don't have a name in the bottom. You just see the wands, the cups, the swords, or the pentacles, and you count how many of them are. So then that's how you know, oh, this is the Five of Pentacles. Oh, this is the Six of Cups. Because you see the symbols, but they don't, if you look at a tarot card, normally what they're known to say at the bottom is in the name of the card, but the minor arcana ones don't. Now, the major arcana ones are all the rest. So let's say the star, the moon, the sun, the ones that have a name in the bottom. The difference between the major arcana and the minor arcana, you have to have in mind when you're doing a reading, because the minor arcana is more of a temporary meaning it's minor. That's why it's literally called that. It's minor. So when you pull out a card, when you're doing a reading about a situation, and the card you pull, maybe it's a little bit negative, but it's a minor arcana card, then that means it's going to pass. It means how long time is going to be affected by this card is going to be very short. It's only going to be a period, and it's going to pass. Whereas when it's a major arcana, so all the other rest of cards I said, when it's a major arcana, it means this is defining a longer period in your life, and this is going to have a longer effect in your life. When I say effect, I also don't mean that once you do a reading, a tarot reading, it's going to affect the future. It's not going to. It's supposed to tell you the future. But what I'm saying is, depending on the minor or the major arcana, it helps you know kind of how long this fortune is going to be. How long is this future going to last for? Future, quote unquote, future. All right, so you got your deck. You know what it means. You've gone over it. You have looked through them. You have seen all of them. I would recommend also, once you get your deck and you kind of already identify what's minor arcana, what's major arcana, I would go through them. Like, take a little bit of time to sit down and look through all of them. See which resonates. See which jump out to you more. See how you feel about them. Kind of create a bond. Create a bond with your deck, really. And I know it may sound a little bit silly, but really, create a bond with it. At the end of the day, you know what, if you buy it online, like I did, if you buy it online, you don't get to as much, but you just know. Personally, when you know. You look at a deck, even if it's online, even if it's just pictures, some may just, they just won't click to you until you find the right one and you're like, you know what, this is it. Or if you're in person, if you're buying them in person, then it's way easier because you get to look through them. You get to look at them and see if they really do resonate and if they really do have that, like, if they feel good. You know what I mean? So look through them, identify them, know what they are. Now, I wouldn't say, obviously, don't look through each meaning because that's going to take you a long time. That's not that necessary. But also, once you get them, try to cleanse them. By cleanse, I mean meditate, have good vibes, however your cleansing rituals are. I should do an episode on cleansing rituals. Let me write that down. Hold on. All right, writing down. Yeah, I would say make sure the vibes around the atmosphere around is positive, that everything is kumbaya and good. You know what I mean? Now, getting used to reading tarot, I think personally, now that I'm more used to it and that I feel that I have a bond with my cards, personally, when I go to do a reading, I just sit down, take about 3, 4, 5 deep breaths, and then when I'm calm and I feel like, okay, I'm good, then I start the reading. I would say for your first time, maybe meditate, which I'm also going to make an episode on meditating, but meditate. You know, make sure you're calm. Make sure your intuition is at its best, because it really is a lot about intuition. Now, getting more into actually how I do it, okay? So, there's this thing called spreads. And spreads and tarot cards means how you pull them out, how you lay them out. So, the most common, or I think at least the one that I like to use the most, because it's the most fast and the most simple, it's pulling 3 cards. One for the past, one for the present, one for the future. Then, you know, I turn them around, I see what they are, and I go from there. 2 things you for sure need to have in count is that, first of all, there's the thing called reverse cards. Reverse cards means once you pull out a card and it's reverse, meaning it's upside down, then it has a complete different meaning. Most of the times, it means that it has the opposite meaning. So let's say you pull out the card of the sun, but it's reversed. It would mean that the meaning of that is the sun, but the opposite most of the time. Really, whatever book you get or whatever you're reading about it, it's going to tell you the exact meaning, whether it's like upright or it's reversed. But that is really important. Now, also when you shuffle the cards, because I know that's a really asked question, like, what do I do? Like, I when do I stop? So, of course, before you pull out a spread, you shuffle the cards. Once you shuffle out the cards, I think I personally just shuffle them until my intuition tells me, okay, that's good. I just shuffle them. Sometimes I move them around. I twist them. I turn them upside down, put them back up. I do whatever my mind, I just let my mind go and do my hands whatever they need, feel like they need to do, until I get a feeling that, okay, this is good, and then I pull out the cards that I'm going to use for the reading. Also, sometimes when I'm doing a lot of readings consecutively, I tend to spread all the cards, like on a table, spread all the cards, move them all around, and then put them back together. Like, go crazy with them and then put them back together. And I don't know, that gives me a sense of like a reset in a way. I don't think that's needed, but whatever's most comfortable to you, I would say. So you pull them out and you have to do a spread, right? Commonly, the one I like to use is 3 cards, one for the past, one for the present, one for the future. This could be applied really to any situation. So let's say you just fought with a friend. And you want to know what's going to happen next. You haven't talked for a while, and you want to know what's going to happen. So you, while you're shuffling, while you're taking your deep breaths, you set your intention. And you're like, I tend to address the universe. You can address whatever you want to, I guess. I tend to be like, universe, please let me know. Please show me a sign through these cards. What's going to happen between me, Val, and Emily. And then I shuffle them. I try to really get into that and really touch that intuition. Pull out the cards and then see what happens. That's what I tend to do the most, the past, present, and the future. There are a bunch of spreads. And spreads they're not rules. You can make your own spread as well. You can do a spread depending on what you feel like. Sometimes I feel like my intuition is telling me to just pull one card and that's enough. But certainly at the start, if you need like inspiration or you need kind of like guidance on what spreads to do, there's a lot on the internet. Just look out spreads, look up spreads, look up on Pinterest, I think there's some, look up just pictures. There's so many. Personally, the biggest resource I'm gonna give you and the biggest tip I'm gonna give you, it's this website called Bidi Tarot. That's BiddyTarot.com. I love her. Her name is Biddy. This is like her blog website. She does tarot. And she has, not only does she have a bunch of lists, she has a bunch of lists on like lovers spreads, a bunch of lists on general spreads, future spreads. She has lots of spreads ideas you can guide from. Not only that, she also has a meaning, the meaning for each card. So let's say, for example, me, how I started was using her website, which was great. You go into there, and if your book is a little bit shitty, like mine was, your meaning book, like for each meaning of the card, you just go on her website, look up the card, and she has the exact description. She has the upright meaning, the reverse meaning, and it's very in detail. And personally, what I would do when I was starting, and I didn't really know how to define each card by myself, and I didn't really know how to identify them, I would go on the website, on her website. Although her definitions and her meanings are very long, they're very thorough, which I like, but they're very long. So I would get out a notebook and I would do a little paragraph on each card, and I would read through her whole meaning, and I would read through her whole description and write the things that stood out to me, again, by my intuition. So that's how I started out, by doing my readings. I would go and on the website, do a little paragraph, and then with that was my reading, right? It helped me a lot, and it helped me a lot to understand why each thing, why it was like it. You basically have to interpret every card. And sometimes I would be there, it got to a point where I was getting so used to my deck, and I was getting so close to my deck, let's say, that I would pull out cards, I would look at the meaning on her website, but I would see, I don't agree with that. What it's telling me is this. And at the end of the day, it's your intuition. That's why you need to be so in touch with it, and that's why you need to be so grounded, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to come through the reading. So definitely check her website out. I don't know her, but she seems like a really nice lady. Yeah, that's my biggest resource for anything tarot. If I need new spreads, I go on there. If I need more meanings, I go on there. I still sometimes, even though I'm used to my deck, I still sometimes go on there to get little tips and tricks. I like it. She also not only has those resources, she just has a blog where she interviews people. I don't know, go listen to it. I think she also has a podcast, actually. I don't know. Go look at it. It's great. End of ad. I also wanted to go into the whole idea about intuition. Personally, to me, it got to a point where I don't want to be like, I am so in touch with my inner spirits. I am so in touch with my inner guidance and the gods above and just the universe in general. I only eat lettuce. No, I'm not like that at all. But I would say that a lot of the times, not any, maybe when I was starting, I would take every chance I took to do as many readings as I could to get practice, but now I only do them when it calls to me. And I try to not force it. Personally, I feel so in touch and so involved when I'm doing a reading that I can't do two in a row. Like, if I do more than two in a row, I generally feel exhausted. Like, it drains me. It drains my energy out because I'm putting so much of my energy into it. And I think that's how it should be. I don't think, like, it should be. I don't want to say like it has to be hard, because if it's not hard, then it's not working. No, but like, you know, when you know, it's a lot about feeling, and that's really what intuition is. So follow yourself and follow your heart. See what your heart tells you. See what your mind tells you. At the end of the day, that's how your spirit guides communicate, don't they? So yeah, get into that. Do your own research. See what feels out better to you. Feel them out, see what happens. There's also some people who buy a tarot deck and they just don't vibe with it, and they go and buy another one, and then the second one's the hit, you know? It really depends. There's some people who have a bunch of tarot decks. It depends. You do you. It's a different story for everyone, I would say. More tips on getting practice and getting better at doing it are certainly do it as much as you can. Personally, when I started tarot, I made a TikTok account. Like, I didn't put my name on it. I didn't. It wasn't my face or anything. I just made like an anonymous tarot account, and I started making videos about tarot. And my first video was like, "Hey, I just started reading tarot. I would like to get some practice. So just leave a comment below and I'll just do a free one." And a bunch of people did. I remember it got to a point where I closed the account. I deleted the account because I was getting so overwhelmed. Like, I had like hundreds of messages of people wanting free readings, like free personal readings. They would tell me what they wanted to know. They would tell me, "Oh, I want to see what will happen with my ex. Oh, I just want a general reading." And I would do a video. I would answer to their comment and I would do a video. It never has to be like, it was completely anonymous. Do they know who I was? No. Was it anyone I knew asking for a reading? No. It was just an easy platform. And I think nowadays we have so many resources, like for example, TikTok, where you can do things like that. Definitely take advantage of it. I know I took advantage of it and I got so much practice and they got a free reading. It's a win-win situation at the end of the day. So I would say definitely try doing that. It was a great idea for me at least. And other than that, I would offer readings to everyone, to my friends, to my best friends. I would just be like, "Hey, do you want a reading?" And then it got to a point now where I'm comfortable enough in them where I only do it either when someone I really like asks me to, or when I feel like it. Because there's two different instances. Sometimes someone comes to me and it's like, "Hey, I want a reading." And a lot of the times I'm a little hesitant because it drains me so much. Personally, when I do a reading, I feel like I have to lay down. It's such a weird feeling, but I feel like I'm exhausted. Like, sometimes I'm lazy to do it because I dread doing it because I know it's gonna make me feel exhausted. And it's not like it's not a bad feeling necessarily. It's just, I don't want to do, I sometimes I just don't feel like getting into that groove in the middle of the day. You know what I mean? Not necessarily like it changes my mood for the whole day. It's not like that, but I don't know. I just sometimes like to avoid it. Other times, for example, the other day, pretty recently, I was laying in bed. I was going to bed, and then suddenly I get this urge that I need to give a reading to someone. And I was thinking, like, is it me? Like, do I need a reading? Is this what's going on? But then I was like, no, it's to someone else. And I kept thinking, like, who is it? Who is it? Who would need a reading right now that I know? I kept thinking, not my closest friends, because I already had talked to them. And if they wanted a reading, they would ask for one. And I kept thinking. And then I was like, you know what? And here's what I did. And it's really, I generally believe in destiny and the universe doing its thing like that. I went on my spam Instagram and I posted a story. It was a black picture. It was a blank picture. I just posted that on my story, nothing. And I waited to see who was the first person that viewed it. And I waited to see, and the first person that viewed it was this girl that I haven't talked to in years. I haven't talked to in at least 2 years. And she saw the picture and I DM'd her and I was like, "Hey, you're gonna think I sound psychotic. You're gonna think I'm a psychopath. But I have, my intuition is telling you to give you this reading, and I feel like I have to, because whenever I get this feeling, commonly it's my intuition tells me exactly who it is. If I don't go and do it, and commonly it's close friends, so I'm not shy to be like, "Hey, I want to give you a reading because I feel like you need it." I'm not shy to do it, and I'm perfectly fine with it. But if I don't do it, then I feel guilty, and I feel like I'm wasting this like gift in a way. And I know it sounds a little bit stupid, but really it's how it feels like. And I didn't know how to approach her because I was like, I haven't talked to her in years. She's gonna think I'm crazy. She's not into this kind of stuff. She's gonna think I'm insane. So I DM'd her and I was like, you know what, fuck it. Because if I don't do it, then I'm gonna think about it for the next week because I'm an anxious person. So I DM her and I'm like, "Hey girl, please don't think I'm crazy, but here's the thing. You need a reading. I don't really know why. That's why you need a reading, and I just need to do it for you." And actually, she was a lot more resilient than I thought. She was like, oh, okay, go ahead, I guess. And I gave her a reading, and it ended up being that she was going through stuff. She was going through some family stuff, and I helped her with it. And she was like, oh my God, like, you actually, like, I was just crying about it. Like, you came at the perfect timing. And I was like, that's crazy. And I really do think it was meant to be. And whenever those little things happen, where I have those moments, or when I do a reading and it's like perfectly spot on, it just gives me, it just brings me this gratitude, and it just brings me this feeling of calmness that I love, because at the end of the day, I am into this stuff, and I like this kind of stuff because I like helping people, and I like being there for people. And when I get those little examples that I actually was there for someone, and actually someone did need that little piece of advice or that little piece of something, or they needed to get more calm, and I was there for them, that makes me feel really happy. And or when I'm doing a reading and it comes out really accurate and they are happy with the response they get, I love that. I live for that, honestly. And that's literally the reason why I'm doing this, for example, why I'm sitting here 40 minutes, an hour every now and then, and filming and recording this. It's because of that, because I want to reach not only the people near me and not only my friends or the people I know, but really anyone. That's really the only reason why I'm doing this. But yeah, now to touch on kind of like the last few things, I want to mention one thing specifically, that one opinion specifically about tarot. And then I also want to get a little bit more into like the old facts. It's just a couple of them. So the thing I wanted to mention is tarot is also really seen as a devil's work, mainly by church, because it's supposed to say, at least I was raised Catholic, although I don't really identify with a lot of their beliefs now, but I was raised Catholic, and the idea was that the only person or the only entity that knows everything is God. And anyone who tries to defy that, everyone who tries to go against that, it's the devil. Anyone who tries to know more than him, quote unquote, or anyone that tries to be one step further than him, that's the devil, and that's evil, and you need to respect God and all that. I personally don't see it like that. I don't think that's true. And I remember one specific class, we were, you know, religion class, someone asked, how about like fortune tellers or readers? They said that, yeah, they do know the future, but it's told to them by the devil. And it's the devil, it's Satan who's letting them know that. Because Satan also knows everything, but he's evil. I don't personally think that. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't think Satan is evil. I really don't know. I haven't really gone into that. But I'm saying, I don't think there has to be that stigma that anything that's not God, it's evil. I really don't think that. Because not only that, there's so many other people with different beliefs. So many other people, so many more religions out there. And I think everyone should be respectful of that. So, no, I wouldn't say it's evil. And at the end of the day, really, you're not going to get a reading. There's no card that's going to tell you you're going to die tomorrow. There's no card that's going to tell you, be careful with cars, you might get run over. Every single tarot card is supposed to guide you. And it's supposed to help you. It's all that is. It's not supposed to scare you. It's never going to tell you you're going to die. It's never going to tell you something really bad's going to happen. It's never going to tell you your mom's going to pass away. Never. It's all supposed to be positive, and it's all supposed to be to help. You know, a lot of times, especially when I'm doing readings for someone for the first time, or this is their first reading, they're like, oh my God, I'm scared. And the only thing I can tell you, and I know it can be, you may also be scared if you're getting into it just now. The only thing I can tell you is don't be scared. There's no reason for you to be scared. Like, either you don't find anything out, or you find only positive things. Because there's really no meaning. If you go through a book, if you go through every single definition, none of them are going to tell you bad things. They may tell you confusing times are going to come. You're going to feel frustrated. Things that are passing. And a lot of times, especially with, for example, Biddy Tarot, something that I really like about her side is that she tells you if it's a card that says it's going to be a little bit hard for you, let's say in the next few months, I don't know, in the future or in the near future, and it tells you, hey, you're going to go through something kind of hard. It tells you what to do. It tells you, take time for yourself. Take time to do some self-care. It helps you because that's what it's supposed to do. So don't be scared. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. You won't die. If you listen to a podcast about tarot, it's fine. It's okay. Okay, to getting to kind of the last little segment, the little history of it all. Actually, from what I researched, it's European. It was created in Italy in late 15th, early 16th century, around 1430s, I'm pretty sure, is what I read. It was supposed to be Italian, and then after that, it kind of spread out to Germany and France. Although it was supposed to be a card game, it was just supposed to be like a variation of a card, of a normal deck of cards. It wasn't supposed to tell fortune or anything. It was never designed as a fortune telling tool, and it was just a card game a long, long, long time ago. And then I also read that the earliest evidence of tarot being used for divination was in the 18th century. So there's really no, you see, like, this is what I mean. There's really no one sat down and was like, I want to create something evil that defies God. No one said that. No one did that. No one, like, when I hear people being so scared of pieces of cardboard, I laugh. Like, it's not, it's completely innocent. And it's only supposed to tell you good things. Like, pipe down. Yeah. I think that's all, really. I think that's all I have for today. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any other questions about tarot, any other tips you want to know, or any other anything, tweet at me. That is GATCPOD. That's the Twitter. So go tweet, follow it, let me know what you think. It's good things are coming. GTAC pod on Twitter. I always get it mixed up. Anyway, hope you enjoyed. Now, last time I filmed an episode, it was literally the same day I was uploading it. So I didn't know anything, or I didn't know what was happening. Now I think I kind of got to figure it out. Now we're on Apple Podcasts, so pretty much everyone can listen to this now. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate 5 out of 5. Please very much. Please very much. Please thank you very much. If you're on Spotify, I know you can't rate on Spotify, but still subscribe on Spotify or follow on Spotify. I'll let you know when we're on Google Podcasts and those other quirky things like that. And yeah, that's about all. I love you. Hope you have a great day. You're loved. You're liked. Your anxiety is lying to you. Goodbye. Kisses.